You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Dan, did you know I'm listening to like a playlist that sort of matches this old-timey vibe? Did you know that the Temptations said when it's cold outside, I got the month of May? For 35 years, I've been singing, I got the muffin made. You knew it the whole time?
I did, yeah. Yeah, I've got the month of May. Yeah, but I can also understand.
I got the muffin made.
Yeah,
I thought they were making muffins.
I got the muffin made. Makes no sense. It makes
why
no
a
sense
muffin's warm? A muffin's nice and warm, and toasty. I don't know. How can you have a month of May? It's
an excellent
way more
point
plausible
as well.
To have a muffin made. What if it's December? Then what? You can make a muffin whenever you like.
A broken, agitated Mike Ryan making his way to the golf course to golf with the Codys and with Stugatz, wearing ridiculous golf gear, a visor, a shirt with so much printing on it that looks neatly starched. That game last night, Mike.
Dan, it is not time for pleasantries or context. Let's just get right into it. Last night was once again a national embarrassment for the Miami Hurricanes. And you want to know something? I'm delighted. That is great. It was a good game, and it was fun while we were there. And everyone gets to see what an absolute clown show we are with one of the lowest attended games since 2012. I believe 37,000 people were there, and it felt like 20. It was awful, and it was good for the program.
You didn't like their play calling at the end? I feel like most coaches would have done the same thing, played conservative, play for an easy kick. And then, I mean, Mike, you couldn't have felt good. You couldn't have felt good when it went off the upright. You were so close to winning with your backup quarterback and staying atop the Coastal.
Dan, baby, we still control our own destiny in the Coastal. This is just one little hiccup. The interim coach is going to still be able to make a nice run to Charlotte. If I had a problem with any of the play calling, it was the safety. I don't know what it is about Miami football teams, but they get all screwy when they're in their own end zone. I understand this is one of the worst run defenses in the nation. You absolutely run out of your own end zone in that situation. You don't do it out of the shotgun. What? That ended up being the difference in the game. And Andy Borregales, he's a freshman kicker. I'm not going to get on him. He's got like a really short memory too, because he'll just as likely make a 58-yarder. He's not the problem. The problem is the staff. And I was encouraged before the game because it seems as though me riding you and Billy Corbin is getting some results. I've heard from people in the program to keep applying the pressure. And we will, because Julio Frank, if you're going to put out that statement, and I'm not going to get on him for how poorly worded it was and how little sense it made, because he was trying to be careful there. What it actually meant was, we hear you. Julio Frank is putting two of his closest advisors on the case, because those two close advisors, one of them is that Fernandez guy that's been around forever, that's very politically tied to the University of Miami. The other guy runs like the medical program there. That's big money, and that's real change. That's real change coming. Now, if Julio Frank is worth a damn, he will follow that statement up with action. Do what USC did. Just get rid of him now. Get a head start on all of this. Don't waste anybody else's time. They don't play a game next week. There's 14 days to the next game. Like, let's go. We all know what at least one of the problems are. Address it now.
I thought that was a fairly enormous thing to do as a president of a university who doesn't care about athletics, feeling the need, the pressure, the booster noise. I can't remember like Shalala or Thad Foote or anybody doing like that in a statement. Thad Foote used to give some press conferences where he talked about how the school would embarrass him, but I was surprised to see on letterhead the university president, who allegedly doesn't care about the program and doesn't think athletics matter all that much beyond fundraising, would put his name on something that would put pressure on Manny Diaz.
Yeah, Dan, Julio Frank is a bit of a man of mystery. I really don't know. Like, I've heard he doesn't really care about football, but I've also seen him at the game. So he hasn't really been around long enough for me to get a read on him. I know he's not meddling the way that Donna Shalala was, who had political aspirations, and that clouded everything, right? But I it seems as though Julio Frank doesn't have the energy for a fight with the fan base. Like, I think Julio Frank wants to be liked. This is the first time he is directly feeling the pressure, because we've been angry at Manny Diaz. I don't even have the strength to argue about firing Manny Diaz anymore. I didn't even mention him in the last tirade that I had. It's just that shouldn't even be a debate at this point. The Blake James thing, I think, was last year. Now you got to just take it to the top. I don't think Julio Frank has the guts to tough it out with these bums that are in charge right now. And good. He needs to feel the heat. That's the only way we get change. And it's happening. Dan, change is coming.
I'm trying to think why you're saying that. You think just the loss combined with the press release? Because I'm trying to think, when you say somebody wants to be liked, I'm trying to think of a thing a university president could do to be liked more than winning, than just winning football games. I'm talking about just getting your alumni to rally around anything. It's not going to happen around the library or the med school the way that it's going to happen around a football program that wins football games.
It's in, I know the football program is going to get all the eyes. And you see, when the University of Miami loses, Twitter comes out in full force, and that's going to be the gambit for any discussion about the athletic program. But this is what has happened to all the revenue generators in that athletic program on his watch under Blake James has been disastrous. Step back after giant step back after giant step back. And last night, like, he has to, if he puts himself out there in a way that he never has before, he has to be actively rooting for the Miami Hurricanes to be winning that game, because it's only going to make it worse. It's only going to get worse for Julio Frank from here on out. Oh, make sure that it does. I'm not going to stop with this guy, because I have a feeling he doesn't have the guts for it.
You and Stugatz are taking the joy out of some of this awful for the audience by pretending like it doesn't hurt you, by pretending that that ball goes off the goalposts and you're like, good, that's what needs to happen.
I don't know what I'm not going to fake it for the audience. I think all of this is ultimately good for the program. I was rooting against the University of Miami when we had the USF Randy Shannon
game. I wish that people understood how far your history goes back on this, because you've done this to Al Golden. You've done this to Randy Shannon. You have your greatest moments of joy over the last 10 years have been when a past expired coach is losing games at the end. I don't know that you've had – what did – you had the Notre Dame game. You had Shannon's Oklahoma game. And you had the Notre Dame game, and everything else in terms of top five moments, Mike Ryan, University of Miami over the last 10 years, is the descent with Randy Shannon. And because this is your third time doing this, where you're all excited about the fact that, good, if they lose, they'll make the change.
I actually remember being at Randy Shannon's last game. It was a Thursday or a Friday post Thanksgiving game. I was in the student section. I know Mike, you've been having a pop at the student section, but I was there with like 13 other students. And I kid you not, in the walk out to the parking lot, there were high fives exchanged amongst the fans. It was a scene of celebration as the University of Miami lost at home to Skip Holtz's USF. Because it meant the end of the Randy Shannon era. Oof. That is 100% a top five moment of the last 12 years.
It was that and saving the cat, basically. Incredible. You're bringing me back. When people say the U is back, now I think it's just rooting for the other team to get our coach fired.
I can't believe where I am with this, where Virginia now, this once elite program, Virginia has left two scars. They closed the Orange Bowl at 47 or 49 to nothing, or whatever it is, was the last game in the Orange Bowl. And then, I mean, that was, that is depressing to lose at home to that team with the student section empty. And I don't blame the students. Why should the students drive 45 minutes to go see Miami's backup quarterback in a program that loses to La Tech and FIU?
Dan, enough with making excuses for the students. You got to hop on a bus and ride up for 40 minutes. It's free. It's college. Enjoy it. Free tickets to the game. You get a free bus ride. Get boozed up. Have fun with your friends. That's bull.
You're advertising a free bus ride? Like, that's not fun. Like,
that's college. That's college.
You can go to Thursday in Wynwood, or you can get on a bus to go watch the University of Miami lose to Virginia. Like, I mean,
those are the times of your life, Chris Whittingham. Hopping on a bus to get your brains
for me
by Bronco Mendenhall. Like those are stories you're going to be telling your grandkids.
This is a real descent of the program. A press release by the school president, Mike Ryan's school motto of "You get a free bus ride." Support our program, you get a free 45-minute bus ride to that giant Walmart over on 199th Street.
Yes. I don't want to hear it. Sneak a Truly onto the bus and have fun. Go crazy, kids. Like, enough with making excuses for the student section. Wynwood on a Thursday. Come on. It's ESPN. It's a nationally televised.
There's a blimp.
It's a cold.
Don't you want to see a blimp?
This is ACC football. This is the ACC.
It could be Wynwood on a Thursday, or a bus takes you to County Line Road.
Let me tell you something. Have you been to Wynwood lately? I'd much rather go to County Line Road. Much rather.
That's it. It's over. Wynwood is over. The demographics, design district, gentrification, Wynwood and design district, they're over.
My chest hurts every time I just walk through Wynwood. I can't do it. Since Zika, I've been out. I've been out on Wynwood.
Whitty, what were your big objections from last night, Whitty?
I just thought that offensively, like, you're watching that game for 2.5, 3 quarters, and I said to a group of friends, like, I think Charleston Rambo is the only good offensive player that they had. Now, they did manage to find a response, and Tyler Van Dyke threw a gorgeous pass for a touchdown, and I thought it was pretty damn good from a certain point in the game. But there's just so often where two things. One, it doesn't seem like they have any talent on offense, and especially at the skill positions, which is just, it's horrifying to watch for the University of Miami. Even when they've been bad, they've sent skill guys to the pros. They still have guys you watch, Leonard Hankerson and Alan Hearns and Philip Dorsett and guys that play on Sundays. Even when they've been bad, I can't fathom a UM team that doesn't have skill position talent. And the other thing is, like, I know that, you know, the argument over the importance of coaching has been had over the course of time on this show, but when it's so obvious to the eye that Bronco Mendenhall and his offense has ideas, they do different things. They, like, you see 10 to 12 things a game from them that's like, oh, you don't see that every week. And Miami, like, Mike was saying, and he's spot on, that you can formulate a game plan against that defense in an hour. They run, like, 8 plays. Like, it's so easy to play against the University of Miami, and that's what's horrifying to watch.
I'm going to push back on they don't have talent on offense. They do. Like, they do. If you look at the recruiting classes on that offense, they got talent. Those are a bunch of 4-star players that aren't performing well. And this was the case during Golden, too. Like, Golden recruited some talent. Shannon certainly recruited talent. It's a bad coaching staff. They're bad at developing the talent. That's a part of the coach. The coaching experience. If you bring in a big-time coach with the very same players, I assume you get different results. And man, we haven't even gotten into Manny Diaz's perplexing press conference on Monday. I don't know how much of it you saw, but Manny Diaz essentially took out every plausible excuse. Like, the ones that people were actually making for him that held water, he took them off the table. No, the president really loves football. He fought for the football program during the pandemic. We have all the support we need over here. I have everything I need to compete at the national level. And then he started complaining that he needed more recruiting classes. He said, quote, I need 2 more recruiting classes just like the last 2. If that's the case, why the hell aren't you playing the last 2 recruiting classes, Manny? Play the kids. Play the kids more. What? I want 2 more of recruiting classes of guys that can't sniff the field? You've been here since 2016, and that defense has gotten worse every year. That wasn't Mark Richt recruiting those guys. That was you, Manny Diaz. And you want me to give you more recruiting time? Get out of here. It's the same. Once I saw that, I'm like, dead man walking. He just sealed his own fate with that press conference.
The Monday press conference, what I thought, I didn't know what was happening there, but when the press release came out from the president, I was like, I went back and I'm like, oh, that's what was happening there. He has to go and defend the president publicly because the president is now feeling the heat, and whatever he said in that press conference wasn't enough because then the president comes out with the press release after that. I didn't know what was happening in that press conference, but in retrospect over the course of the week, I'm led to assume that someone told Manny, hey, get this off of the president.
It's working, Dan. It's working. what we're doing is working, what Barry Jackson is doing is working, what the fan base is doing is working. And if Manny Diaz is somehow here the next time they have a home game against, I think, NC State, we need to make our voices heard. We need to, like, super leak this shit. We need to go out there. We need to have banners. That's how we make our voices heard. We're not going to jump. We're not going to protest at a private university, a bunch of NDC grads going to Miami and Coral Gables. It's just not going to happen. But if we go to this game and we make our voices heard and we apply more pressure, I guarantee you we're going to get the change. Change is coming to this program. That press release should have just said change. As poorly worded as it was even more confusing. Just change. If Manny Diaz is somehow here for the next home game, Blake James, Manny Diaz, Julio Frank, get all the signs out. Because it's unfathomable to me that after that press release, you're going to keep doing the same shit. You need to send a message right now with Manny Diaz. And he's just the start to clean this whole thing up top down.
When you look at that statement, I do think we should kind of reference some of it because I'm not sure everyone would have read it. It says here, we can either be disrupted or we can play a role in strategically shaping the course of disruption, which is a very kind of like techie bro phrase. As with our academic and healthcare missions, when it comes to athletics, my job as president is to ensure we are doing the latter. To that end, I've decided to increase the involvement from my senior leadership team to chart a way forward. So, I mean, yeah, he's feeling that pressure. And I think Mike, you know, he's kind of said, like, I'm, you know, leading a crusade here. Like, we're trying to get change at this program. And by the way, this is how big time college football athletics works. This is how you institute the kind of change that you're after. This is how programs get held to a standard. I know that, like, you've been talking about a standard for a long time that hasn't been met, but I don't think there's been enough people from within inside the University of Miami that feel like they have to uphold a standard, that feel like the five national championships is something that hangs over their head. At any other program, I mean, yesterday we were talking about the SEC, and we were kind of looking at, like, boy, Mark Stoops has been at Kentucky for a while. I forget when Kentucky came up. If you look at the SEC programs, other than Bama and Kentucky, inexplicably, every other program in the SEC has changed its coach since 2018. So of the 14 programs, 12 of them have changed their coach in the last 4 years. And Ed Orgeron as well. So it's 11. 11 of the 14 programs have changed their coaches in the last 4 years.
You know who hasn't changed their coach? And this is a funny cartoonish name that you can't say enough. I don't know why it makes me laugh. I know that the legacy of it is football soaked. But Bronco Mendenhall has been there kicking ass.
Great name.
It's just, there's not a better, give me a better name. Ed Orgeron's pretty good and Swamp Monstery, but you will not do better. You can't lose to Bronco Mendenhall just because he's named Bronco Mendenhall.
I feel like we've lost to Bronco Mendenhall because he's named Bronco Mendenhall since 2014. It's just, you know, Virginia presently has a better recruiting class than Miami for next year.
No.
Miami is presently ranked, according to 247 Sports, 44th in the nation. This is Manny Diaz in charge of this class. This is Manny Diaz saying he needs more time to recruit. They have zero South Florida commits so far. Zero. Two from the state of Florida. Just two. You know where FSU is? And this is where Kirk Herbstreit said FSU is closer than Miami. FSU is presently 9, despite that tire fire of a season they've had. They have the 9th recruiting class right now, according to 247 Sports.
But how much?
Zero.
How much does that mean?
But how much does that mean?
You can't. Wait a minute, though. You can't do this where you celebrate him for the last couple of classes that have ended up with offenses that you're telling us are talented. But I'm watching and I'm like, outside of Rambo, Harley's fast, but he drops the ball all the time. So I'm like, I don't know what it is that you're seeing on offense that I'm not. I'm not seeing a bunch of recruits that are developing.
Cheney got hurt. Knighton is supposed to be a game breaker, but we decided to run him up the middle. You wouldn't know it with the wide receivers, but we have really highly touted wide receivers, but we keep throwing the same guys out there. Mallory was a good prospect. His backup, Elijah Arroyo, who I'm dying to see, was a good prospect.
A dude.
He's an absolute dude. Zion Nelson had a first-round grade headed into this season. I mean, the pro scouts were all over him. There is talent on this team. There is talent that is just dying to be unlocked. And our play calling is terrible. Our player development is terrible. And you're right. On one, I'm talking a little bit out of both sides of my mouth when I hold up the talent, but not the talent development. But that's what we had.
But their recruiting classes have been good. They've lost. This is enough University of Miami talk for the day. Mike Ryan has said it. Manny Diaz has to be out before the next game. He continues to increase the pressure while wearing a really absurd golf shirt. I don't know how to explain what this is to the audience. Do you expect Stugatz to actually show up? Is there going to be a cloud of marijuana smoke and lies, and it's just going to be you and the Codys golfing poorly?
He lives on this course, and I'm still expecting him to be 20 minutes late.
Didn't he hide from Charlie Hume when Charlie Hume came up there, drove the 3 hours to go up there, and then Stugatz was hiding somewhere and never came out to meet him?
Yeah. So I'm like only 40% sure I'll see him today. But whatever. Well, I'm charged up. I don't need to go to the range. First ball is definitely going in the drink. And then I'm going to the drinks.
All right. So we just wanted to check in with you here at the very – we needed to give the audience a dollop of your tears.
I'm not sad. This is a good thing. This is a good thing because I was sad when we lost to Georgia Tech. I was sad when we lost to Virginia Tech. I was certainly devastated when we lost to FIU. I was sad when we got shut out in a bowl game to Louisiana Tech. I mean, my tears are all dried up. I'm happy now, like, because there is no foresight in that department. In that athletic department or in the board of trustees. They could have avoided this if they acted 2 years ago. It takes something plain as day as last night for them to realize it. Fine. That's the type of people we're dealing with. Great. I'd rather not suffer. I'd prefer to go to Charlotte. I'd like to win the Coastal, but I'll take this. This is fine.
I can't believe that we're in a place where you could cite the positives. Wins over Oklahoma, Notre Dame, and the 10-0 start with Mark Richt. And that you can just as easily say on the other side emotionally, your happy days are when they get rid of Randy Shannon, when they get rid of Al Golden, and when they get rid of Manny Diaz. That's an apocalypse right there. It's an apocalypse.
They're top 10 moments in Miami Hurricanes history.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.